Hello, good morning. You're very welcome along to the weekend edition here on Highland Radio this Saturday morning with me, Greg Hughes. Hope you're very well. Coming up on the programme, there are plans to add calories to restaurant menus. We get the views of the no-salt chef, Brian McDermott, and what it could mean for the public and for the industry. We hear of a charity clothes collection across Donegal to raise much-needed funds to build homes from refugees in Central Africa. Can you believe that a UK company will guarantee you no clouds or rain on your wedding day? Well, it does come at a cost. We'll have the details. The actress who played Princess Leia in Star Wars has spoken about her Donegal roots and how her family were forced to flee the county. We'll have more details on that. And there's live music from the amazing Little Hours, who will have a chat with us and perform their debut single, It's Still Love, live. Text the programme 086 770 0555, or call Yvonne 0749125000, or you can tweet me directly if you wish at Greg Hughes 2, or use the hashtag Weekend Edition. Okay, so loads to pack in between now and 12 o'clock. Hopefully you can stay with us between now and then. Okay, let's see what's making the headlines in the papers for your Saturday morning. The Irish Independent: McAleese critical of Pope over slapping of children. Former President Mary McAleese, well, she's criticised Pope Francis's comments on smacking children, warning it could signal a turning back of the clock in the church's attitude to corporal punishment and children's rights. And this Pope has made great inroads, I suppose, in terms of his attitude to many things, but his comments during the week as it relates to slapping, well, that certainly has set the cat amongst the pigeons once again, with the former president now weighing in on the issue. Elsewhere in the front of the Indo, switching phone plan can save you €500. Thousands of people are on the wrong mobile phone and are overpaying for their service. Savings of €500 a year can be made by opting for a better value plan. It's emerged. But aren't most people stuck in two-year plans because they want the very latest and greatest mobile phone? That's all well and good if you've a phone that you're content to stay with. But it seems so many people, as I say, you sign up for a two-year contract on a phone that really has a shelf life of less than a year now, the way they are bringing new ones out. Irish Times, Weekend Edition: no agreement at Moscow talks. I wasn't following that too closely, to be honest with you. More criticism of the Pope from Mary McAleese. And coverage of the Aer Lingus Heathrow slots, which could be worth $1.2 billion. All very important stories, I'm sure, but certainly the Moscow talks and the airport slots straight over the top of my head. Irish Daily Mail: the hunting knife at Dwyer's office. More details from the ongoing trial of Graham Dwyer. Well, a hunting knife was ordered by him, was delivered the day before Elaine O'Hara went missing. It emerged the 95-year-old knife in a scabbard was found in the basement of the building where Mr. Dwyer worked as an architect. When ordering it over the internet, Mr. Dwyer, who's accused of murdering Ms. O'Hara, had written, "Please mark package private and confidential." His murder trial heard yesterday. So that rumbles on and on. They are also having the conversation about the smacking of children in the Irish Daily Mail. Dr. Eva: bold kids should be smacked. Miriam: why I'd never hit my children. The great smacking debate, they're calling it. Well, you can weigh into it here, 086 770 0555, if you've an opinion on that, or you can call Yvonne on 0749125000. What did they used to say? Spare the rod, ruin the child, something along those lines. I think we've moved on somewhat from there. But as I say, the Pope's midweek's comments has set that issue back onto the agenda once again. Irish Daily Mirror: a very sad story continues to emerge about Bobby Houston, Bobby Brown's daughter, Bobby Christina, I beg your pardon, who's the daughter, of course, of Whitney Houston, who died too soon. But Bobby family in hotel brawl, apparently, because there is disagreement amongst the family as to how to proceed, because, of course, Bobby Christina is in an induced coma. We'll read on anyway. Members of Bobby Brown's family were involved in a hotel brawl as his daughter fights for life in hospital. Police said the singer's cousin was struck in the head with the bottle by his sister during a fight. It came as Brown prayed for a miracle over critically ill Bobby Christina and refused to switch off her life support machine. The Irish Daily Sun, or the Irish Sun as they call it, Dwyer had hunting knife at work. More of that story there. And the Irish Daily Star, gangsters maul jailed gangster Fat Freddie Thompson's wife Vicky Dempsey has avoided jail over a brutal assault in a pet shop, of all places. Molly Dempsey received a 2-year suspended term for violent disorder after dragging a woman by the hair while two men, including her brother, attacked the victim's partner. Lovely people, aren't they? Well, one's in jail, one's escaped jail, and there's more on that if you wanted in the inside of the papers there. Now, joined in studio by two young men from the St. Eunan's College, I suppose it is. It's college, isn't it, lads?
Yep.
Yeah, St. Eunan's College. And we're talking about the Fusion, the F1 Fusion project. And in studio with me is Harry Murphy and also Evan McGrory. We're going to speak to you first, Evan. What is the project F1 Fusion?
Well, F1 Schools is a global competition that challenges secondary school students to design, build and race miniature compressed air-powered balsa-wood miniature cars.
Now, these aren't the little cars you might pick up in a local shop here that run on a couple of A4s, are they?
No, they're...
This is a different level stuff,
yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah, they're 1/20th the size of a normal Formula 1 car. So if you want to think, that's a small bottle of water, really. Mm. And we have to race it down 20-metre track, and it can actually reach speeds of up to 350 kilometres an hour.
Which is a massive yeah. speed. And is it just almost like drag racing? Is it like a one-run situation?
Yep. Yep.
So you couldn't be cornering at that stage. Yep. Obviously, it'd be a nightmare. So the challenge then is to... I presume the challenge then is to use science and technology and what have you to try and maximise your performance, is it?
Yeah, students basically have to use IT to learn about physics and aerodynamics design, but it's not all about the speed as well. Competing teams are also judged on the quality of their engineering, then we have the graphic design, resource management, then the portfolio and media skills, things like that, the verbal presentation of our work.
And how many are on the team?
There's 6 on our team. We have me, so I'm the resource manager, and then we have Connor, who is the manufacturing engineer, Harry, who is our marketing and communications manager, then Nathaniel and Anthony, who are our design engineers, and then Dylan, who's our graphic designer.
So not only is sort of, you know, it about miniature Formula One cars, F1 cars, effectively, it's about also like a full F1 team.
Oh,
to
yeah.
some extent, everyone has a role that you would expect to see in it. And why did you just get involved in it? Were you some teacher signed you up, or did you
no,
decide to get involved?
Well, it's just from last year. They did so well, and
tell us about last year. There was another team in.
Yeah,
for, yeah.
Last year's team were Optimal F1, and they got to the national finals. The year before that, they won Best Newcomer, so it's relatively new in our school. It's only 3 years.
But there's a challenge on you. There's a pressure on you guys to keep this level of success going, isn't there?
Yeah.
I can feel the pressure. So at what stage of the project are you at now? Is it just started, or have you started doing quite a bit of work on it? Or
well, we're quite a bit through. The regional finals are in March in Castlebar, Mayo. So we have the car designed and made already. It's just about testing, because we have to keep making and improving our car to make sure it's as fast as possible.
Do you get a basic kit to start off with, or is it from scratch?
The competition provides us with balsa wood and then a few basic things, and really you can send it down to Limerick and your design will be made in Limerick University or down there. But we've actually collaborated with the LYT to make ours, so we can keep making more. And
I like it.
It's quicker to improve, and it saves a lot of
sneaky advantage, maybe as well.
It's innovative.
Those wise heads at LYIT. Harry Murphy, you are you're charged with the PR on this and the management of communications, aren't you?
Yeah, that's my job in this competition. So basically, what we're trying to do is to brand our team. We use Facebook and Twitter, just social media. And we have a website. Okay, it's under construction, but nearly done. It's fusionformula1.weebly.com. We've used Weebly, which is an online kind of search thing that helps us create it better and easily. Also, we have, when we go down to the competition, we're given marks for what kind of marketing we do. So the three judges that we will be in front of will look at our Facebook page, our Twitter, our website, and also the events that we've done. So our upcoming event this Wednesday is going to be held in Kelly Centre Mountain Top, and it's basically a press night, so we've got Donegal TV on board. They'll be there filming, and it should hopefully it'll be a success.
Yeah. And that's going to be part of this project. So in other words, the way we can help you as well is that search out the Facebook page, search out the Twitter, get interactions going and follows and likes and what have you. And that adds to the points towards the whole project. Yeah. So that's really, you've a big job. Yeah. It's not easy, you know.
No, the car is only like...
These agents in the media are hard to work with. You know? I know all about it being one.
Yeah.
Like, but anyway...
The car is only really kind of a small part of the competition. Yeah. Like, of course, it's important to get your car fast and to like be the fastest car in Ireland, the best engineered. But
here, this even what he's doing here now, Revan, sorry, he's making out his job's the most important here. Forget about the car. As long as he can,
he's got a big role.
He's on the TV now, lads. He's can. But yeah, no, I know what you're saying, and it's that's what I like about this competition, because it's not just basically how fast you can go. There's so much, and I know the other guys that are that aren't in the studio with us today. All their roles are hugely important well. So, have you done any test runs of this? Well, hold on, before we get to that, I'm running away from myself. Tell us a little bit more about the marketing aspect of it, Harry. So, this launches on Wednesday night.
This launches on Wednesday night in Kelly Centra, and we've invited some like local people from the papers involved. So, hopefully, you know, that'll come through for us, and Donegal TV are confirmed and they're coming. So, they're going to do kind of a short documentary for us, and just kind of also highlighting, it's just another thing we can use, show the judges, you know. The press launch is on at 6:30, so it is.
Yeah.
And we'll just be giving a presentation on what F1 and schools is about. And
sounds brilliant. And be plenty of students up there too, hopefully, if they don't support you.
Hopefully,
I wouldn't be going back. Evan or Eve, Evan or Evan, why am I calling Evan. You Evan? Evan. Evan, if I call you Evan. So tell us then about what's the next stage of the competition. When are the regional heats, or is that
March 10th?
March 10th.
In Castlebar. Then if you progress from them, the top two in the regionals progress to the national finals, and the national finals go to the world finals, which are in Abu Dhabi this year.
Oh, well.
Yeah.
Okay, forget about everything else. Let's get to Abu Dhabi. What are you competing with any local schools in this area, or where's the nearest school you're competing with?
There's teams from Milford this year and St. Columbus. And
we think St. Columbus have a team, but it's very hard to kind of know at this early stage.
You need to send spies in, do you?
That's basically what you need, yeah.
Well, listen, we'll make sure to give them a plug too if they're coming on. Listen, guys, it sounds fantastic, and... maybe we might be able to get something with you on Wednesday as well, just to help in the in the whole PR aspect of it. Sorry, I was going to ask you, have you done any testing on the car yet?
It's only recently been made, but
that could be a disaster.
No, but we will be testing it in the next few weeks before the regionals.
When we get it back from the OIT, you know, it is quite, you know, the wood is quite rough because they are big machines and ours is just small cars, so. So we need to sand it, and there's a lot of preparation involved in the actual construction of it. Then that's when Connor's job comes in, the actual building of the car. So
this is brilliant. What should people search on Facebook or Twitter for the?
Our Facebook page is Fusion F1, and it's a picture of our logo on it, which is a green logo, green and black logo. Sorry.
Yeah, Fusion in black over the F1 logo.
Yeah.
And then the Twitter is. At Fusion F1 St. Eunan's.
Brilliant.
The Twitter page at the moment, it's only really relatively new to us because...
You're just trying to mitigate here that you're not doing your job. Everything's new. It's not quite ready. You've got about 3 days to make sure everything's up and running properly.
Well, the start of the competition is more about getting the car, and now it's more about marketing now at this stage. Yeah. My role's only coming
Your job's only starting. Very good, lads. Well, listen, we wish you the very best of luck. I'd love to hear you're heading to Abu Dhabi, but even if you can match what the teams did last year and the year before, it'd be a great step in the right direction. Look, it's a pleasure to have you both in, and we wish you the very best luck. Anything you want to add before we finish?
No, just thanks for having us.
It's an absolute pleasure, and hopefully we're talking to you again when you've progressed even further. So it's the F1... What am I? It's the F1 Fusion.
F1 Schools competition.
And I've been in studio with Harry Murphy, Communications Manager, who's doing a great job already, but a busy couple of weeks ahead. And also Evan McGrory, Resource Manager. Both of you from St. Eunan's. Thanks so much, guys, for coming in.
Thank you.
And you're very welcome back. Rain-free weddings. Did you know that there is a company that will guarantee that your wedding day will be rain-free, but it comes at a cost. To discuss this, I'm joined on the programme now by Oliver Travel's Head of Customer Experience, Natasha Rasmussen. Natasha, firstly, a lot of people may think this is science fiction, but it turns out it's science fact.
Yes, that's correct, yep.
And how does it work?
Yeah, so here at Oliver's Travels, we decided to team up with some cloud bursting experts so we could guarantee perfect weather for our customers' wedding day over in France for destination weddings. So technically how it works, a light aircraft travels over the cloud, which disperses a substance over a 24-hour period, which then the clouds then disperse and you've got perfect weather for the big day.
And that's guaranteed, is it?
It is, yes. Success can be guaranteed. However, if there's like a natural disaster such as a hurricane or such, then obviously it can't
of
be
course.
Controlled.
And you talked about France there. I mean, is it region specific or does this technology work anywhere?
Well, the company that we're working with is actually based in the States. However, we thought we'd launch it in France just because this is our biggest destination for weddings and we specialise in weddings at French chateaus.
And what has been the reaction to couples that have availed of it?
Yeah, well, we've had fantastic reaction. We've had been fielding lots of phone calls over the last week. We just launched just last Monday. We haven't had any takers as yet. however, you'll be the first to know if we do.
Well, given our cloud cover and the amount of rain we get here, it seems particularly on wedding days, I think there could be quite a market. Is there any concerns people may have in terms of, you know, what's being dispersed into the air, or is it a chemical?
Mm. Well, it is a super cooled water, so it is safe. And since it's been developed from the 1940s, there's been no evidence to show there's any negative impact on the environment.
And I know it's not your place to sort of, you know, counter-argue, but has there been any negative reaction to it?
We haven't been fielding any calls or anything on that, and we've just been told by the cloud bursting experts that there has been there's been no negative impact since it was developed in the 1940s. So we've just been going back with that answer for a couple of inquiries that we've had.
Now, this is not for the faint-hearted as it relates to the financial impact, is it?
Yes, you're right. It does come with about $100K price tag. £100,000. However, it is a three-week full-on project for the meteorologist and the pilot and everything, and to get the equipment over to France. So it is quite an in-depth, complex project. So you are getting quite a bit for the money.
Indeed. But you're also changing the weather, which is quite remarkable.
Exactly.
You can't increase the temperature, though. It's only just to keep it nice and clear.
No, just for the perfect weather and no rain on your wedding day.
And just from your research on it, do you know how long it lasts once this process has, started to work? Is it just for the wedding day itself?
Well, I believe the meteorologist spends about a week on ground prior to the wedding day, and then the actual cloud bursting takes place over a 24-hour period. So I believe it's just for the day itself afterwards, immediately after the process takes place.
I can imagine the people who put the roof over Wimbledon, or perhaps some of the cricket clubs where we get so many disruptions on these islands because of the weather, if it was slightly more affordable, it probably would be used more widespreadly.
Well, that's it, and it has been rumoured actually to be used at Kate and Will's wedding, the Beijing Olympics, and Paul McCartney gig back in 2003. So it has been rumoured to be used before, but now we're just offering it for regular customers as well. But obviously with the
I was going to say regular customers.
you don't have to be famous.
I would enjoy your customer base. So then finally, obviously you'd have to have very, very deep pockets and certainly very much love the person that you married. How do people get more information on it, even if it's just out of a curiosity, but I presume they can visit the Oliver's Travels website.
Yeah, you're right. So it's just www.oliverstravels.com, and our phone number is 0800 133 7999, and we'll be more than happy to answer any questions on it.
And I'm sure you're hoping it takes off.
Yeah, that's it. And if it does take off, we'll hopefully bring it to UK and Ireland. We've got some beautiful properties over in Ireland as well. So yeah, we'll hopefully be using some weddings over there in the future.
Superb. Natasha Rasmussen, thank you so much for talking to us.
You're very welcome, and have a great day.
You too. Okay, you're very welcome back to the programme. It's the weekend edition here on Highland Radio. Loads to come up between now and 12 o'clock. We'll have live music from Little Hours. We'll also hear about the actress who plays Princess Leah and her connection to Donegal and how she claims her family were forced to leave the county. We'll get the background to that. There's a very important initiative ongoing over the next couple of days. It's a charity clothes collection across Donegal. It's to raise funds to build homes for refugees in Africa. And we'll also be speaking to No Salt chef Brian McDermott. Is the nanny state in full effect? They are now telling us we must have calories on our restaurant menus. Some people for, some people against. We'll tease out the issues there. I talked about Little Hours coming up later in the programme. Well, former guests on this show, they also performed live for us, were in their thousands. Here's a track from them. We'll be back with more after this. Okay, that's in their thousands there. A couple of texts, a few texts coming in on the weather store we had. That UK company, well, they're the local middlemen, I suppose you could say. Well, they go up and they disperse these clouds, apparently. But a caller says you should stick to the child of Prague. And another says, Met Aaron can't tell us what the weather's like the past 2 weeks, so how are they going to do it? Can't see many people going for it at that crazy price. Well, for 100,000, they'll send planes up, they'll drop frozen water droplets down and get rid of your clouds, guaranteed. It's ridiculous, but they can do it, apparently. Right, anytime Donegal play Dublin in Croke Park, it's always a big occasion. Tonight that's happening in the league. Our GA correspondent Tom Comack's in studio with us just for a brief chat on that. Tom, as I said, it's always a big game against Dublin down there, isn't it?
Oh yeah, it is, very much so, especially now that I suppose Donegal are up there as well and winning All Irelands and winning leagues just like the Dubs. And I suppose it's an opportunity for Dublin to raise the ghost of last summer's All-Ireland semi-final defeat by Donegal. Remember, Donegal caught Dublin, which were supposed to be unbeatable at that time, on the hop. But
kind of sadly a little bit turned into our final, I think.
Probably did. Donegal probably never rose to that level again. It was certainly one of the performances of Jim McGuinness's 4 years, and that's saying something. And it's probably that maybe we went to Dublin a little bit unexpected as well, and no great expectation, but it was a bloody good win for Donegal on that occasion. But Dublin, having said that, I'm looking at Donegal, the Donegal selection tonight, just the one change from last week, Eamon Doherty in for Kieran McGinley. Donegal fielded 12 of the side that played against Dublin in that All-Ireland semi-final. And, you know, Dublin, I think, have only about 7 or 8 of the players that played in that All-Ireland semi-final. They have quite a lot of players out through injury, like Dermot Connolly is club-tied with St Vincent's there in the All-Ireland Club Championships. You have Paul Flynn, Kieran Kilkenny, Alan Brogan, Bernard Brogan, Stephen Cluxton, James McCarthy, Darren McCauley and Keena Sullivan. They're all out of the Dublin team. They're all big names. So Dublin, I'd be actually quite disappointed if Donegal don't win tonight, actually, because it'll be slightly...
Dublin are there to be taken.
Dublin are there to be taken, there's only what Ross Carroll, Johnny Cooper, Johnny McCafferty, Dennis Bastic, Dean Rock, Kevin McMenamin, Owen O'Gara, Cormac Costello, that are recognisable names in this Dublin side.
I know you're hardcore fans. Anytime Dublin, Donegal are out, it's a huge occasion. But then, you're more casual fans that know the championship is really when the glory days happen. That's the problem with the league, isn't it? I mean, this should be a much bigger game than it really in reality is, because after it,
it's a big
managers will reflect and they'll say, well, we're building towards this. And
the league is a very strange competition, Greg, because it's the second competition, it's second just to the championship, and I haven't heard a manager this year say, or last year, or for the last 10 years, say we're going out to win the league.
Yeah.
We're going out to retain our status in Division 1. You might hear teams saying in Division 2, well, we'd like to get promoted. But it's a strange competition. Like, I don't hear Jose Mourinho or these guys saying we don't want to win the Premiership in England. You know, it's a very strange competition. I find it very strange given its prestige, because the reality is...
Well, it's a warm-up competition for the Championship. And if you're in Division 1, you're playing against better opposition, so you're getting better games.
There's eight teams in Division 1, and realistically, looking at them as they are now, there's about four of them capable of winning the Championship. Mm. That's the harsh reality of it, you know. You have Dublin, you have Kerry, probably Cork, Mayo, maybe five. That's stretching. And I think that's the All-Ireland champions will come from those five. So you have three who are already, maybe they were better going out and saying maybe we should give the league a rattle. Mm. No, haven't said that.
Well, that's what I'm saying, because I think the managers, could make more of the league. You know, if they place the importance on it, then us fans, particularly I'm talking more about the slightly more casual fans, will go, right, well, if it means something to everyone, well, then it means an awful lot to me. Do you know what I mean? Maybe they can lead that.
But I don't want to take away from tonight. Tonight's game is
very
important game from the point of view of getting the points, league points, to retain their status, this famous status. And, if Donegal can pull off a win tonight after last week's good victory over Derry, they'll be in a right good position, and they might find themselves in the knockout stages of the competition. But just as well to remind people that there's a big game in Derry tomorrow as well, an opportunity to see Kerry, because the All-Ireland champions are playing Derry tomorrow in Celtic Park at 2:00, and not forgetting Tyrone as well. People begin to question Mickey Hart's.
Well, that's it. I mean, and in fairness, those questions over Mickey Hart have been there for quite some time now. Maybe people are afraid to ask the real big question, and is it time for Mickey to walk away now? Has he done everything he can do with this team? Has he exhausted every pre-team talk, every half-time motivational speak? The players have heard it 1,000 times now. Does someone new need to go in there?
Well, there are people that say that. I'm not sure. It would seem certainly that maybe a fresh voice would be no harm, but what do you say to Brian Cody in Kilkenny, 14, 15 years there?
Yeah, but you can't live on your success forever,
But
you're a Mickey Hart fan,
obviously. I'm a good fan of Mickey Hart's, actually. Yeah. I make no bones about it. And I think all that he has gone through and his family has gone through, I don't think anybody
I also think
is a problem, and we've discussed this on Wednesday night with Kieran Woods on the GA programme from the Gaelic Life. Mm. There's no Peter Canavan's around anymore. There's no Owen Mulligan's around anymore. There's no Brian Duher around anymore. There's no Kevin Hughes around anymore. They're all big players. They're all big leaders. We probably saw one of the greatest leaders.
Yeah, but who's going out looking for those players?
The one thing from what I gather, and I spoke to a lot of people in Tyrone since the start of the year, and there's nobody in Tyrone saying that there's anybody out there that isn't in the squad that shouldn't be in the squad.
I know what you're saying.
The best are there. But the point I'm making is one of the greatest leaders that they probably ever had, and one of the greatest unsung heroes Tyrone ever had, is Conor Gormley. He retired this year, so he's gone as well. So
maybe he should be managing the team.
So the reality is that it's Tyrone situation is they may just have to take a back seat for a while. You know, that's the reality of it, you know. Yeah.
But it may take
a new voice as
well. Yeah, okay. I got that much out of you on that one anyway. And Derry perhaps could bounce back after their defeat against maybe slightly vulnerable Kerry?
Yeah, well, one would expect Derry after last week. You know, Derry's old failing came back to haunt them again last week. Plenty of possession, playing diagonal ball rather than good attacking ball and more direct football. It came back to haunt them last week. I would expect them to bounce back this week because Kerry, I know, lost last week to Mayo, so they'll be anxious to pick up points. But they're not great travellers this time of the year and they're short quite a lot of players as well. Mm-hmm. So I think there'll be only about 7 or 8 of the All-Ireland team.
Well, they're building, aren't they? I mean, building in terms of trying to peak. You know what I mean?
Oh yeah, well, Kerry, there's only one competition that matters in Kerry, and that is the championship, yeah. You know, and I think maybe some of us fall into that trap as well, where, as you were mentioning earlier, it's all about the championship. I suppose, Kerry, what, they've won 34, 35 or 36?
Well, they have the routine, well.
That's right.
So that's live commentary tonight with Oisin Kelly and Martin McHugh live here in Highland Radio. And then, of course, your GEA show every Wednesday night, Tom. I know loads of people love listening.
Yeah, we'll have a preview. We'll hear from Jim Gavin and we'll hear from Michael Murphy this afternoon and this afternoon's sports programme, and also Donegal ladies, we mustn't forget them as well. They're beginning their National League campaign tomorrow afternoon in Newry against Down. Their game last weekend against Armagh was postponed due to the weather, and we also speak to their new captain, Katie Hearn,
and Jim Gavin too, I think, is also on the show.
Jim Gavin,
a busy Saturday sports show from 2 o'clock. Plenty of contributions from Tom. You can hear him every night in his own show on the GEA programme on Wednesday nights. And as I say, live commentary tonight, Oisin Kelly and Martin McHugh down in Dublin to bring you every kick of the ball from Croke Park. Right, Homes from Donegal is a fantastic new initiative. And to tell us more about it, we're joined on the line now by the founder of it, Tim Jackson from Stranorlar. Tim, good morning to you.
Good morning, Greg. How are you doing?
Very, very good. And thank you so much for joining us on the programme. Now, Tim, why did you decide to take up this initiative?
I travelled to a country called the Central African Republic back in April. And when I was there, it was a war zone, essentially. And I just travelled to help an NGO called Caritas, who were sheltering and rescuing refugees from the war zones. And so as a result of the war itself, there were 1 million people made refugees. And coming home, I thought that there's a responsibility here on me to try and give these people back the dignity of a home. There were whole families who had been living outside in awful conditions.
Well, that's what I want to ask you, because we see the adverts on the TV, we see some news reports, albeit very rare nowadays. What were your expectations going out there, and how different was it when you actually arrived?
Well, actually, just before I left, I got word that my host, a bishop who had invited me to, who had said it was okay if I could come and help, he actually was kidnapped. So it was a bit unnerving hearing that. And then I landed, I remember the plane landing in the capital, and all around the airport there were almost 40,000 refugees.
Just people milling around the place.
Yeah, and so it was a different world, really. And when I started talking to people on the ground, the people who had been affected, it was really shocking to hear their stories.
What kind of stuff did they say? How did they explain their lives now?
Well, family members of theirs had been brutally murdered in this war, and they themselves were lucky to escape whenever their villages might be attacked and might have had to spend time months on end in the bush. Hiding, and or else made it to one of the refugee camps, and so they'd been through so much, and the suffering was just awful, and they continue to live in these conditions, unfortunately, and so that's why the charity was set up, is to try and give them back the dignity of a home.
Because we try, you know, I mean, when you have something, you know, sometimes you start worrying about things that aren't really that important, and you know, maybe your electricity goes off and you're complaining about that, or you know, maybe your car breaks down and you say, oh, I'm going to have to ask someone for a lift. You know, these are what we would see as day-to-day issues here. Yeah. I know people have it far worse, but just as an example. And then you talk to these people who are hiding, fearful for their lives, have lost family members, living in tents, effectively, if they're lucky enough to have that.
Yeah, exactly. And so the suffering was just on an unimaginable scale for me. and I have to say I was pretty shocked by it. And so for this collection that we're organising, we have 55 points around the whole county. It's a clothing collection that's taking place this weekend, and with the funds raised, we'll hopefully be able to rehouse many families. We've so far been able to build 9 houses out there, which is really just a drop in the ocean. Mm. But the hope
but
is...
But still, 9's big for those 9 families. Now, you talk about 55 collection points. We can't go through them. They are dotted all over the place. Is there a website or a Facebook page that people can find out the times that for the drop? We'll talk about what they're dropping off, but for locations and times of drop-off points, where's the best place to get that information?
It's on homesfromdonegal.com, okay. Or else you can type in Homes from Donegal on Facebook and you'll find our Facebook page. And so, yeah, we have 55 drop-off points. For example, in Letterkenny, there's the Aura Leisure Centre between 10 and 2 p.m. In Buncrana, there's St. Mary's Oratory between 9 and 2. And there's one, I'm sure, locally for each listener.
Yeah, there is. I mean, they're all over the place, Dan. Donegal, Ballyshannon, Bundoran, Killybegs, I mean, they're all over the place. So even if you don't have access to broadband, get someone maybe close to you to homesfromdonegal.com. You'll get a time and a location. Right, in terms of what can be dropped off to help?
Well, we're taking all clothes. We'll be very thankful for any clothes that can be dropped off, and also belts, shoes and handbags. And these are things that people just are happy to make a small effort will go a long way to making a difference in the lives of those families out there.
What about in terms of quality? Are these clothes to be sold on or recycled? And what I'm trying to ascertain is, do they have to be of a certain quality?
No, they don't. We'll sell on only the very good clothes.
Yes.
But the majority will go to a recycling company where we'll get about €1 per kilo. And so we have the potential to make quite a bit of money.
Look, I mean, even I was doing a piece on this programme about fashion recently, and even the most those, the followers of fashion, there's a massive percentage of stuff in the wardrobe that they'll never, ever use. So, you know, if you want to help with some quality items as well, maybe now's the time to say, look, I'm not going to be wearing that black number. I'm not going to be wearing that suit. Pack that in with the rest of the clothes that maybe you were going to be throwing out and make a contribution.
Yeah, absolutely. And it'll be so much appreciated by the people out there that we can make such a difference. And, of course, it only costs €700 to build a home.
Well, is that it? €700.
The price of an iPhone, a new iPhone. So it's really manageable, hopefully, that we would make a big impact through this small initiative.
Yeah. Well, listen, we wish you the very best of luck with it, Tim. Are you going to head back out again, or are you focusing on the fundraising effort here?
Yeah, I'm focusing on the fundraising because I realise I'm better placed here to try and help people in the Central African Republic by just raising money here. So, and I'd like to thank people who have been so generous to us so far and who will make that effort over the weekend and beyond. It's much appreciated.
Mm. Okay, Tim Jackson from Stranola. Fair play to you. You know, you're doing this on our behalf as well, and we can get involved now because of the effort you have put in. So we do appreciate you coming on and telling us about it.
Thank you, Greg. It's much appreciated.
Okay, Tim Jackson there. Homes from Donegal. Clothing collections at 55 locations around Donegal over the next 2 days. Get to homesfromdonegal.com or search it on Facebook for all the information on that. They can build a house for €700, as Tim said, the price of an iPhone. And when you think of the company, the money that that company makes. But anyway, that's the way life is, isn't it? The haves and the have-nots. But we can make the have-nots have.